Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We have come now in James chapter 5 to the instructions for healing in the cases of serious illnesses. The subject, of course, is divine healing for today, God's instructions for healing the illnesses of New Covenant believers. And we read in James 5:14, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." As I pointed out in the broadcast yesterday, the indications are that this is a case of serious illness that is in view, not the more trivial types of sicknesses which we all have from time to time, but this is something that is very serious and potentially life-threatening. In fact, it may be definitely life-threatening, or it may be feared that it could be if it continues on. The more mundane types of illnesses, flu and the kinds of things that we always get, colds and viruses of one kind and another, they're covered in the first place in verse 13. "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." Praying for yourself in situations like that is entirely appropriate and is certainly sufficient. But in cases of serious illness, something more is needed. "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church." And so we'll continue with these instructions on this Thursday, October 11, even as I extend my deepest gratitude to those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to continue on this station. The sick believer is to call for the elders of the church. As we pointed out on the broadcast yesterday, he takes the initiative. Unlike many so-called faith healers today who themselves take the initiative, they call for the sick to come to them. They announce their presence, they announce their meetings, they announce their crusades, they announce their location, and they enlist sick people to come and to avail themselves of their so-called healing powers. But this is nothing like that. This is entirely different. The sick one takes the initiative to call for the elders of his church, the local church of which he is a member. And if you do not have a church, then you are without this resource. You call for the elders of the church. Now, of course, who are the elders? And the elders are the pastors. You say, well, my church doesn't have more than one pastor. I can't call for the pastors, plural, because my church only has a pastor. Well, call for the pastor of the church and let him bring, at his discretion, another one or two of the leaders of the church, the men who would be mature leaders in the church that could be designated elders, even if your church doesn't use that category. But it ought to be the pastor and pastors, men who have pastoral responsibilities. They are the ones who are in view. Call for the elders. Now we come to a very interesting question. I think I told you in introducing this section back probably on Monday that there are some things that are difficult to answer in regard to this passage. And here's one of them. It's a very simple question. Why call for the elders? That's the instruction. That's very plain. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. But the question is, why call for the elders? Why not call for someone else? Well, there are several answers that different commentators offer for that question. Let me go through them. One answer is that the elders represent the church. And so, in that arrangement, in that understanding, that perception of this instruction, the idea would be you call for the elders, but of course the elders ask the whole church to be praying for you. But the elders will come and they will pray for you specifically. They're going to represent the church at your bedside. Again, one of the indications that we're talking about serious illness, because in this case, the elders must come to the sick person. The sick person cannot go to the elders. The sick person cannot go to church. So the elders come, and they come to your bedside, and they pray for you. And in doing that, they are representing the church. Obviously, the whole church can't come. It wouldn't be appropriate for the whole church to come. But the elders come to your home, or the elders come to your hospital room, or wherever it is that you are bedridden with this illness, and they represent the church, but the whole church is praying for you. Others would answer the question, why call for the elders, by saying it is because the elders are more likely to have the ability to heal. But I object to that one entirely, because there is no hint anywhere in this passage of a special gift of healing. It is true that in the first century there were people who were given the gift of healing, but there's no indication that that gift is given to church elders indiscriminately. And here we are told that the person is to call for the elders of the church. It doesn't say call for the one or ones in your church who have the gifts of healing. Nor does it say call the elders of the church so that they can send, because they'll have a better knowledge of who this might be, they can send to your bedside whoever has the gifts of healing. There's nothing of that here. It is call for the elders of the church. It is obvious that there is something in this situation that requires pastoral ministry. And that, I think, is the key. We'll see that, I think, as we move along. But I think that is the key. You call for the elders of the church, and they come and pray for you. And, of course, presumably, pastors are men of prayer. And if you have a need, a special need, a serious need, you certainly want your pastor or pastors to be praying for you. But, of course, you want other believers to be praying for you as well. And, as we know, every church has some people who are particularly devoted to prayer, and you would want them to be praying for you as well, but they aren't mentioned here. Again, it doesn't say call for the ones who are especially devoted to prayer, or please ask the elders to notify the ones who are particularly devoted to prayer. But it says call for the elders of the church. The elders are the pastors. So there's something about this situation that seems to require pastoral ministry. It is not simply a matter of calling for mature people who are able to pray. And as I've already pointed out, there's no hint whatsoever at all that this has anything to do with a special gift of healing. But what it obviously has to do with is pastoral care, pastoral ministry. Tuck that away. We'll come back to it later. But now we move on to find out or to investigate more fully what it is that the elders are to do when they come. And they are said to perform two tasks. Number one, to pray for him. And number two, to anoint him with oil. Again, verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them, plural, elders, plural, them, plural, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So they pray for him, literally over him. Again, the implication being that this person is what we would call bedridden. They might be able to sit up in a recliner or whatever when the visitors arrive, but this is a person who's not able to get up and go. So they come and pray over him because he is not able to stand. He's reclining. He is lying down. He's prostrate. And they anoint him with oil. The implication seems to be that they do the two simultaneously. They anoint him with oil while they're praying. Again, the language. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. No specific instructions are given for the oil that is to be used. I will tell you that I have for many years kept in a particular storage place in my church office a small bottle of olive oil for this very purpose to be used on these occasions. But there really are no instructions that tell us that it needs to be olive oil as opposed to coconut oil, or the type of oil certainly isn't the important thing. But they are to come and they are to anoint them with oil. I certainly wouldn't use motor oil, would you? I would use some kind of cooking oil, and I think olive oil, just simply because in all likelihood that's what was being used in Bible days, and so that seems to be suitable. That's readily available to us today, and no reason not to use that. So olive oil would be my recommendation preference, but there's no biblical reason why we are restricted to that. And there may be occasions where that's not available. And if it's not, use what's available. Oil. Furthermore, there's no specific instructions for the way the oil is to be applied. It just simply says, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. My practice, and this is only my practice, is just to take a little bit, a few drops of the oil, and to apply it to the forehead of the person for whom we are praying. It doesn't say that you need to necessarily pour a large amount of oil over their head, over their hair, over their body, just to anoint them with oil. Use the oil. We use a little bit of oil. In the case of applying oil to a person, I think personally that a little bit goes a long ways. If I'm on the receiving end of this, I don't necessarily want to be deluged with oil. I'm happy to have a small amount of oil applied to my forehead. That's the way I would prefer to receive it. That's the way that I would prefer to apply it. But we do this, we are told, in the name of the Lord. In other words, as his representative. When that phraseology is used in the New Testament, that is exactly what it means. When you pray in the name of the Lord, you're praying as his representative. And so you pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You are representing the Lord Jesus Christ to one of his children, one of his sheep, who is in need of special help, special healing for a serious illness. And so that's as far as we've gotten today. I will try to conclude this on the broadcast tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.